Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and of course the aggressively air drumming Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things. Gents, lovely to have you here. And it's not all been positivity at Loftus Road this season, but wonderful to end the year with a really good win.
Why are we laughing?
Slim pickings. Why are we laughing at the air drumming comment? I think more than anything, really, it wasn't aggressive; it was passionate. we went to Hillsborough. I think we all predicted a loss. We've had some happy times or happy time at Hillsborough last day of the season, and we played quite expansively. We played on the front foot, and we got the victory, which we deserved, despite some. In different refereeing decisions again for the 10th time this year.
10th at least. Someone needs to have a look at the performance of the EFL referees over the season. I haven't looked at other clubs to see whether they've been as bad, but we've had at least 5 or 6 really bad decisions. Oof. And the first one in this week's game was so bad. I don't know if you've seen it, Johnny, but it was so bad.
Woeful.
So bad. I cannot put any other words to it than that.
Do you think this is why we saw so many penalties in the game? That a referee gets one a bit wrong early.
Bit wrong.
I'm being diplomatic. Realises he has got it wrong and then is constantly spending the rest of the game trying to rectify the situation.
I think the problem is that everyone's talking about referees outside of the Premier League. I mean, they are professionals, but there's not a wealth of referees ready to take over. So this is the best at that level,
it's
apparently.
Professional now, they get paid now.
Well, they probably, they are professional, but this is the best at that level. The problem is anytime they get a wrong decision, there's no kind of comeuppance for it. There's no kind of what happens next? Oh, unlucky. Yeah, do better next time. Try not to give penalties when nobody gets touched in the box. There's just no thing for it. So there's no learning from it, because that referee goes around thinking that, okay, I've made a few bad decisions, end of the season, doesn't really matter, I won't do it again next year.
Well, you're speaking like you know, I don't really know, but I seem to remember if they have a bad decision or a bad game, they usually get dropped from the next week. I don't know that, but they certainly get reviewed. I'd like to hear a little bit back where the guy got reviewed and it was a 2 out of 10, and we actually get to hear a little bit about what his comeuppance is.
I think
down
this
the
does
line.
Happen. So a couple of my friends are referees, not at that level. But I think if you get a real pasting in your report, as it were, there are repercussions. There's a sort of promotion and relegation system for referees. So the guys doing it at the top level, it's not like there's a magical board of referees who's saying, I like you. Yeah. They have actually done it statistically.
I think it's harsher at the lower levels, but when you get into this, whatever step they are, level they are, level 2 or whatever it is for being championship, there isn't loads of level 2. So it's like, right, you're naughty, don't do that again, but no one else will do it, so jump back in. And it's the arrogance that sometimes they approach it with. I watched Mike Dean last night in the City
proper
game.
Proper celebrity referee.
They don't even look at players in the eyes, and when they're making decisions, they're trying to talk to them. I think Company, who is quite level-headed, comes across that way, doesn't even want to, that Mike Dean won't even give him the time of day when he's trying to talk to him about decisions. So you can't have that honest conversation. Now, in rugby, they do it differently. You don't have that conversation.
They call them sir.
They call them sir, but there's an instant kind of thing. If you start giving grief, it's like, oh, there's another. Then we did it. I remember doing it for a bit. They did another 10 yards, didn't they?
Have they done that?
I'm pretty sure they did.
I don't think they've done that. I'd like them to do it.
Maybe
they're doing
dream.
Rugby.
Maybe
I mean,
it's like 3 points
rugby
away.
They do. I'm not sure.
I'm
I've
sure
ever
they
seen
did
it
in football for a bit, but it didn't work because it would have just, they would have been in the, they would have been in the stand. They've been in the pub. Like, you can't take a penalty from here, boys. It's ridiculous.
But the thing on those decisions, I mean, ours was debatable, but I still probably wouldn't have given it. The other two were absolute terrible decisions. But you've got, it's like in your mind, you've got to think 100% certain. Did I see that? Was it a penalty? If I'm not 100% certain, go to my linesman. But he didn't, and he wasn't even touched. It's embarrassing.
Do you think the fact that it was such a poor decision played into the reason why Forestieri took quite such a terrible penalty.
No chance.
I don't know,
no
but
chance.
Lumley enjoyed it. So Lumley, I don't know whether
he
Lumley
went to ref after. I wasn't sure
whether Lumley was sort of saying you dive for that. I'm not sure he did.
No,
I don't think he was
looking
for it.
Lumley went to the referee. Well,
it looked like to me he was going to the player.
He went to the ref. And Freeman said in an interview this week that the is it the PGMOL? Is that the right acronym? 8 letters they've had this year, QPR, about decisions made.
Apology letters.
Well, not love letters, I don't think. There's no love lost. But 8 letters saying that this is wrong, and we've had the same referee that's made them wrong decisions.
We've had 13 penalties against us this season. Of which,
have we?
Yeah, 13. I looked it up.
Crikey.
And we missed two. 2 have been missed. And we've had 4, of which we've missed 2. Ooh. 3. No, we scored 1. No, we scored 2. Hemed scored 2. Hemed scored 2.
Did he score 2?
Wells missed 2. And Eze scored the fifth one.
So it's not good.
Beyond the missed penalty, I thought Eze looked absolutely wonderful.
Game. It's really disappointing because there was a bit of backlash immediately on social media. He had a great game. He looked really good. He did some nutmegs. He did some really nice today. And of course, he misses the pen. I thought it was a good save. He does the silly stutter. And of course, people are like, oh, well, that's typical Eze, sort of doing the, trying to be too fancy, just put it in. I think Manning should have taken it because there's a guy that's been scoring penalties this season. Therefore, he's on form in the penalty route to let him take it.
Bright was going to take it because he won it, which I do with my under nines.
But Eze did play well, and it's just a bit unfortunate because then the Boo boys are back on him. Mm. But overall, I thought he and Bright played very, very well. I thought it was his best game for a long time.
Surely the fans have to get behind those two in particular because they're going to be so important next year.
They should have been. I mean, Bright hasn't had enough game time. Eze's been in and out of the team and he looked out of confidence. Eustace, I think, has brought a bit of that back into him. And I think he's still got the potential to be a big championship player. And we need that next season, most definitely, with what's going at door. Ilias Chair is going to come back in from Stevenage and he's going to be pushing in around that forward, that front three or whatever formation we play, depending on manager. But Eze's definitely going to be in and around the first team next year. You know, but he's done all right.
He's going to be in the first team.
Yeah,
it's going to have to be.
It's end of the season game. Sheffield Wednesday came into it on a really good run from the turn of the year in comparison to us. I think if I was a Wednesday fan, I'd be looking to next season with more optimism than us. So you can't take too much out of the game, but you got to win a game of football, and it's nice to end on that note.
Absolutely. A quick update from this evening's Champions League action. It's still Liverpool 1, Barcelona 0, 50 minutes played. Of course, Barca lead 3-1 on aggregate. They are pinning Liverpool back, and an away goal could kill the tie off. Gents, it's time for your first Who Are You clue of the show. So I'm going to kick you off with a slightly tricky one. If you get it just from this, I'll be very impressed. I was once signed by Jose Mourinho. That's the only clue you are getting for now. You'll get one in each segment throughout the show.
Can't be Bisingua. Please don't bring him up.
It's not Bisingua. I know better than that. Beyond just being a win, it was also another good performance under, of course, caretaker boss John Eustace. But we're hearing reports, certainly in the last day or so, that he might not be the number one next season. And coming up, it's time to talk about Mark Warburton.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things. And we've been waiting quite some time since the dismissal of Steve McClaren to get some more concrete rumours about who the next man in the dugout will be. And it's looking like it's Mark Warburton. Would that be an appointment that excites you? For a start, he's not Tim Sherwood.
He's definitely not Tim Sherwood, so that pleases me. Does it excite me? I don't think anybody on the list has really excited me, to be honest. I think he's okay. I think he meets some of the criteria we want. I would like there to have been someone better on the list, or I'd like someone to have surprised me from left field and said, here, someone's coming that you hadn't thought about that was interesting. But he's got a decent win record. He did okay at Brentford. I've heard mixed reviews from Brentford fans about him. Rangers, I think he did all right. And then Forest are pretty damning of his performances there.
But yeah, the performance at Forest, I think, was 48 points from 30-odd games. How many did he have there?
37.
37 games. So that's success for QPR next season.
Yeah.
So we'll take that.
But 40% win rate there, not too bad. 65% win rate at Rangers, which I suppose one might expect over a couple of years.
You think 85 if you're Rangers or Celtic.
It's in League One as well, whatever
but
it's called.
51% at Brentford between 23 and 2015 is actually really encouraging, isn't it? Because there he was working with young players with a fairly restricted budget. He was playing good, exciting Brentford-style attacking football. And to still win that many games, he's going to, if he comes to QPR, have a tough job, limited money, youth there again, and he seems to know how to handle it.
I think the fear factor for us is that he is a similar coach, potentially to McLaren. Right? McLaren's been around the block a lot more times than Warburton, who came into it a lot later. Warburton's done his due diligence in terms of learning his trade and going around Europe and being a youth team coach at Watford, an academy a director at Watford as well, and then becoming a director of football at Brentford before becoming first team manager.
He missed out his City time.
As a trader, yeah. That's where he made all his Man City, quirky. But he's the fear factor is from the teams he's managed is that he's got one style of playing football. And if that is playing out from the back, we tried that under McLaren. Oh. And Warburton was available at the same time as McLaren. And McLaren only came in because he was a bit of a Tony Fernandez, like, he liked him from when he was there under what people spoke about his coaching when Redknapp was there. Warburton was there, so available at the same time as we got McLaren. So we're thinking if we haven't got the personnel to play out from the back this year, well, next season's going to be even tougher because we're going to have even more limited supply of professionals that can play out. And what do we do if we can't? Now, hopefully he's not one-dimensional. Hopefully he's not, but I don't know. But fans are saying he is.
I was talking to a couple of Brentford fans today and they said that his plan A is outplay the other team and plan B is do plan A better. Yeah. Which isn't massively encouraging in terms of pragmatism.
It seems like he's got stuck with that label because I saw a lot of Forest fans tweeting on our social media saying exactly the same. There is no plan B.
The Forest one's weird, though. It seems to be a weird... I haven't really read too much about his time there. It seems to be in... It's a short period of time. I think it was, not 7 months, 9 months that he was there. So it's hard to judge him on that in some respect.
There has been a goal at Anfield, just quickly, and it's a massive goal. It's Liverpool 2... Barcelona 0. Could they do it? Jorginho, Willian, Wijnaldum there,
easy
I should
say.
Easy for me to say, getting the second. Of course, it is now Barca 3, Liverpool 2. A Barca away goal would still potentially be a nail in the coffin, but potentially a glorious European night at Anfield once again.
We could have watched it on Julian's app. We were watching
Messi's
it before.
Still here, though. Messi's still out there.
Well, there is that. Yeah. And he does love a goal against an English side, of course. Do you have any more reservations about Warburton?
I don't have... No, this comment's not necessarily about him. It's about our hierarchy. So when we got rid of Holloway, did it feel like a big step up for Steve McLaren? Not really. It felt a bit lukewarm. I feel the same thing here. We've sacked McLaren and then I'm not really overly excited by Warburton. So it feels like there's no plan B. The plan A is sack the guy in charge because he's not good enough. But the plan B never seems to be in place in, are we really stepping up our game? Have we been in the background searching for somebody that we think's a really good player?
Oh my word. Jorginho Wijnaldum has clearly decided that I didn't say his name right the second time. So he had to make me say it a second time.
It's been disallowed.
Oh, my Lord. This drama.
Oh, it's back. Oh, it's back.
It's Liverpool 3, Barcelona 0. We understand the goal is going to stand as... Things are currently. Liverpool are coming back from 3-0 down against Barcelona in a Champions League semi-final. I was being told by my colleagues all day there was no chance. I was saying it's possible. They've got previous. Could it be another Istanbul? It would be very Barcelona. It would be very Lionel Messi, Julian, as you were saying, for them to get a cruel away goal now. But if Klopp's men do this, it will be extraordinary.
Liverpool-Tottenham final.
And it could do big things in the title race, of course, as well, because talk about a confidence boost, talk about morale, and our producer, who clearly isn't very keen on Liverpool, is absolutely furious.
Is that because the big Stevenage Liverpool rivalry? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, because they're always competing for the same trophy.
Exactly. I still think they need five, personally. I do. I mean, I'm not watching the game, but I always think Barcelona will get one.
You're watching your app, your championship manager app.
So I feel like they need two more.
Back to QPR.
Yeah, there feels like for the whole plan B thing, I just don't feel we have a plan B. We've sacked him because the form was poor. But, you know, Eustace has done decent decently over the last few games. 5 out of 7 of
good
his games.
Good that he stays.
I think it's good. Yeah, that's a positive thing. I don't think he's a manager, but he seems like he's tactically, he seems like he's a bit more astute. But you know, Warburton, is he a really big step up from McLaren? Or can I see us in 9 months in the same place where we're going, oh, he hasn't really done the job? Add to the fact he's got no budget to play with, which I know is one of the attractive things for them. Is he getting any better?
He has to start well. That was one of McLaren's downfall, and that's where the change of strategy came in. The pleasing thing for me to hear Warburton say in an interview was that he'd seen Dave Sexton's QPR, and Dave Sexton was a bit of a legend, really, for Warburton in terms of who he'd model his expansive passing style on. So the fact that he's seen QPR, the best QPR team potentially ever, that pushed Liverpool all the way in that league title championship race in 75-76, He would surely, watching that as a young boy, understand what QPR is about. So if he can implement the 75-76 spirit into a QPR side in the championship with no money, well done to him and good luck. But at least he gets it, hopefully, what QPR is about.
Do you see this as a quick fix? Do you think that it's the QPR board going, listen, we'll get someone in who broadly knows the championship, who'll be able to tide us over for a year, keep us safe?
For who? Who are we waiting for? The thing at QPR at the moment is that we are working desperately off the pitch to make things happen in terms of training ground and stadium. They're not quick wins. That's training ground's taken 7 years to even get anywhere close to being built. Stadiums could potentially take as long, which is a long time for QPR at the moment, with probably the third smallest stadium in the league. So it's who you're waiting for. There's no money to invest. We can't do that because of our operating model. There's nobody else out there on the list at this time. Who's going to be there next time? Warburton has to be a 2 to 3 season minimum appointment. And that doesn't go alongside his track record, really, apart from potentially Brentford, where he was there a bit longer. But I think
a year and a half or something, wasn't it?
Was that all it was? But he was there longer in terms of being at the club. Yeah. So there isn't a quick fix, quick win at QPR at the moment. It is a long-term thing, and you're going to have to put up with youth team players, which we've got some potential. We just need to get some defenders in.
Well, the other thing is, we're not going to attract anybody amazing either. Where you've got to attract someone to come in and say, you've got financial fair play hanging over you. You've got 9 players out of contract. You've got all these youth players you've got to bring in. So in a way, there's not too many people that are going to take it on. Ainsworth obviously would have done, but I imagine there might have been a bit of compensation we'd had to pay Wickham. We probably can't afford it. And there's a lot of doubt as to whether he can do it at the higher level and attractive football. So, you know, there are questions. And we beggars can't be choosers, and we are beggars at the moment.
You make it all sound so glamorous,
yeah,
Julian.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely do.
We did win on Sunday, you know.
Yeah,
it was a good
performance. And we'll improve your mood a little more, both for you in the studio and for those of you listening at home. Because coming up, we'll have former QPR forward, current Oxford forward, of course, Jamie Mackie, on the line.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And just a reminder that it is currently Liverpool 3, Barcelona 0 at Anfield. Are they set to do it again? Just one more goal and they'll be there. And talking of goals, I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by a man who is very, very familiar with scoring them. Jamie Mackie, former QPR, current Oxford striker, is on the line. And Jamie, first of all, are you watching this?
I've got it on, mate. I've got it on in the background. I've just pressed mute, so I'm on the sofa. One of the boys is over. We've got it on. So, yeah, 3-0. Incredible.
I can say you're used to scoring three goals, or the third goal against Liverpool, hey? You remember that one?
I do, yeah. Obviously, I'll never forget that. That was amazing. So, but this is a... Liverpool have been brilliant tonight, so it's... at the minute, you can only see them getting a winner, but we'll see. There's still half an hour to go. But, yeah, what a game.
Talking about that night at Loftus Road, it was pivotal for us, Jamie, in terms of staying up that year, and an incredible run under a much maligned manager at the time in Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
What's your memories of that time, that end of the season where we went on that great run, and that game in particular?
I think I remember very clearly that we sort of thought, obviously we got promoted into the Premier League, and obviously as soon as the fixtures came out, we were all over it and having a look, but sort of more on like a practical note, we were looking, without getting carried away with Premier League fixtures, looking at the back end of the season, thinking, you know, after Christmas, we need to be safe pretty quickly because the running is a really, really tough running. So we needed our sort of points on the board before we went into that running. However, we didn't actually have them, and we just turned a couple of results in our favour. And then from there, we gained massive confidence at home. I think we was a we were a tough team to play against at home because we were on the front foot, we pressed. I think it was hard for teams to come there.
Jamie, of course, we're hearing that Mark Warburton could be the next permanent boss yeah. of QPR. What would you make of that appointment? Do you have any particularly strong views on him?
I don't have any, you know, as long as I just want, you know, obviously I'm not there making decisions. I just want the best for the football club because I want to see it picking up and doing well. That's all I want. And I know it's a tough time to come in to be a manager of the football club. I mean, I know I've heard good things about the team he had, albeit being Brentford, obviously, but he had a good side and they played good football. And obviously, I think he's worked with young players, which is obviously going to have to fit the bill at the minute. So it's it's always hard to judge managers before they have their reign because you never know how they're going to deal with a set of circumstances that they're dealt with when they actually get the job. But obviously, a lot of thought's gone into it because now they've obviously had the luxury with staying up and having a little bit more time to make the right decision. So if that's the man, they obviously think it's the right one, and we'll see how he gets on. But I certainly, if it is him, wish him all the luck because I want to see the team do well.
And you know, you've obviously been playing most of this season, apart from when you got injured. Don't know what you've seen of QPR. If he comes in, where do you think he needs to focus on strengthening the team? Obviously, we haven't replaced you as a striker, but you know, where do you think we've got issues we need to solve quickly?
Yes, well, I think that funny enough, the game that I've had so many games this season myself, and obviously I'm still playing and really enjoying it. So any chance I get, obviously I'll come to Loftus Road and watch, and obviously I keep out straight away. I look for the results. I have got an eye on what's happening. I think first and foremost, there's not probably one. You know, everyone's always going to go a striker, aren't they? Because I think any person says that because you think that goals is the thing that's going to guarantee you success. But I think you've got to always go from a really solid foundation. I think obviously the goalkeeper, I think Joe Lumley's been brilliant. I think he's really good, and he's proved that he's not just one for the future. For a youngish player, he's done a great job in goal. So you've got that at the back, and then obviously starting with centre-halves. I don't know the position of the lads in contract in that position, but obviously that's something that you need to be really solid in that division because it's tough now, the Championship. But going forward, I think obviously there's a lot to be done because the two lads that they recruited on loan, I thought was really good business in Naki Wells and Tom Ahmed. I thought they were two very good players, and I think for the club to get them back end, albeit on loan, was obviously a big coup. And the trouble you've got is obviously they've gone back on loan, so I don't know the position whether they can get someone of that ilk again. And I think obviously that's going to be a priority position for the new manager to get right.
You mentioned, Jamie, just talking about your time this season in League One with Oxford. And it's been a bit of a who's who down there for QPR because obviously you've had Sean Derry down there with you at Oxford. We had Clinton and Joe Barton at Fleetwood. I actually came to the FA Cup game, Oxford v Brentford, and the Brentford fans were giving you a little bit stick about your physique. I don't know if that was regards to QPR or just you on a day, but it wasn't the greatest FA Cup game, I must admit. But what's your relationship like with the Brentford fans in that day? Can you remember?
Well, obviously it's not great. Yeah, I wasn't expecting a open with arms sort of welcoming at Brentford. Obviously, I played for QPR. I didn't like playing against Brentford, and we've got a rivalry against them. So being having a really strong affiliation with QPR, as soon as I got there, I loved it that we pulled them out of the hacks. I look forward to the game, but we on the day, like you say, I mean, it wasn't a great fixture, but we gave a good account of ourselves in the FA Cup, albeit they're a decent side at home, and probably not an unbelievable game for the neutral. We did all right in the game, and I got a stick throughout the game. I mean, I was getting ridiculous stick, but I loved it, to be honest, and just gutted that we couldn't beat them. But I got pretty hammered on the day, to be honest.
And thinking about QPR, where they're shopping now, you've seen a lot of League One this season. Is there any players that could step up to Championship level with QPR that someone like Warburton should be looking out for?
I think there's certainly some very good players in the division that I've played in this season, for sure. I just think that it's very hard, and I think previous managers done it at different clubs in the Championship where they've looked into the lower leagues. Now I think that there's some very, very good players, and I think if you look into it, certainly the odd one can step up. But it's always been about getting the balance right with experienced players in the level, because the Championship isn't a league that I think you could go and get players who aren't proven in it and fill your squad with players like that. I think you can get a sprinkling of good deals and not having to pay loads of money for players on the outset, and them come in and sort of like do well and progress their career with QPR. But I think it's hard to fill your squad with players who are unknown in the Championship because it's so demanding. So I think that somehow the club needs to get in some experience at the level to drive them through, because you look at the teams in the division now and it's so competitive that people need knowledge of the league to do well.
Jamie, of course, you scored in that iconic Aguero game. You know what it's like to play in a high-stakes clash in a run-in in a Premier League season. Of course, QPR did stay up that day as well. What is it like going up against a team who it's absolutely crucial for them to win to get the title? And who are you tipping for it in the Premier League this year?
I think that Man City will get over the line. I think the test they had at home to Leicester the other day was probably, out of the two games they've got left, a harder test. Obviously, Brighton are safe now, and at home, any team in the Premier League can be a threat. I just think that the experience that Man City have got in that one-off game, I think that they've been on an incredible run to come from a little bit behind in the league and then to get in this position. I just think that they're too strong, too much experience in their squad to throw it away on the last day. But yeah, to come up against a team that is a one-off game that they have to win, I think in many ways is easier because there's the element of sort of doing things even for top players. The occasion can change a set of results. If they were safe and they've won the league already, or they can't win it, I don't think there's as much on the game, and that people play freer just naturally as a human, and that separates the best players to the not so good ones, that they can sort of stay calm throughout. But I think having to win the game for Man City potentially gives Brighton a little bit more of a sniff than if they were playing them free flowing in the middle of the season, where you can afford to potentially slip up just about and still be in the hunt.
And bringing it back to QPR and our sort of coach manager situation, you were in the dressing room with the likes of Derry, Hill, and both of those guys are coaches now or managers. There's a discussion about Warburton as to whether he keeps Houston on. Or Houston? That's a station.
Yeah.
Houston on.
He'll be off to a flyer.
Yeah. So what's your view? Do you think there's some guys that are in the dressing room with you that we should bring in that have got a sort of QPR heritage that will assist Warburton and get everyone behind? Because one of the things about you that I always admired was QPR, wearing it on the shirt, seemed to be really important for the morale of the team. So if we get that in the dressing room as well from the back staff, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that, I definitely think that it's a bonus for football clubs to have. I don't know how, if it's absolutely essential, because it has not been the recipe all the time for success. But I do think it's a massive, it's not just for the change. I think there's a distinct sort of bond between the fans then and the coaching staff straight away. So I think maybe in times of it being a little bit tougher, they maybe get a little bit more leeway with the fans and can communicate with the fans, where a manager who's got no affiliation with the football club, it's always a little bit harder. So I think it's I don't know, obviously, his backroom staff, and the trouble you have is a lot of managers sort of go through their career with the people they trust, and they keep the same backroom staff. So I'm obviously not privy to the sort of key information as to how many staff the new manager or coach is allowed to bring in, or he's got to work with the people who are there. But I'd always be an advocate of having someone who has got a strong affiliation with the fans and knows what demands should be put on new players and new staff to be able to work for QPR.
And Jamie, you captained Oxford recently as well, and you're, let's say, coming to later stages of your playing career. What next for you, potentially? Would you end up in the dugout one day?
I don't know. I sort of thought about it quite a lot. And obviously, my passion through my life is football. I absolutely love the game. I'm really enjoying playing and not being injured at the minute, and playing with some really sort of fresh young talent. It's inspiring me every day, and I'm really enjoying it. But the the thing with coaching management is very, very different to playing. So I don't know. I haven't made my mind up on that, but I'm not 100% convinced it's for me. But I'll always be massively passionate about football, and I'm just going to keep trying to play for as long as I can. If I still feel I'm sort of doing myself and the side justice until then, when I get to that point, obviously I wouldn't ever want to take a contract if I didn't think I'm up to it. Mm.
Wonderful stuff. Jamie, thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. Just before we let you get going, I've got to ask, who are you backing now? It's at 3-0 for Liverpool. It's 3-3 on aggregate. An away goal for Barca can kill the tie dead. Who's going through to the final?
I think Liverpool might nick a goal here.
Well, you've heard it here first from none other than Jamie Mackie. Thanks ever so much, Jamie Mackie there, of course. Former QPR striker, current Oxford forward, still very much in love with the game. Wonderful to hear. Talking of being in love with the game, there's a game that you two are, I think, almost certainly not in love with. Who are you? I've got a second clue for you. Your first was, I was once signed by Jose Mourinho. Your second is, I once played for Barnsley. Who can say both of those things? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things. We haven't had a correct guess in who are you yet.
We haven't had a guess.
But
well, you had one.
It's two tricky clues. The last two. I amped them up in terms of easiness, so we will get there in the end. If you think you know the answer, feel free to call in 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. And all season, we've been talking about the players who could be and probably would be on their way out of the exit door come the end of the year. We've known that there are lots of guys out of contract, lots out on loan, and we've seen a few farewell tweets.
Yeah, they've been pretty positive. I think Jeff Cameron today was nice. It was, you know, he was really unlucky with the injury he got at Leeds because he was just getting to his stride then. It was an awful tackle as well that day. From the midfielder, I forget which Leeds player it was, but Calvin Phillips maybe.
Phillips.
Yeah, it was an awful tackle and it put him out. And I spoke to him, Jeff Cameron, that is not Calvin Phillips, at just before the QPR match at the Fan Zone one day. And he was just saying how much he was enjoying being at the club, how much he was enjoying playing under McLaren. He seemed to kind of get it as well. He dropped back into centre-back for the last couple of games he played.
He looked good.
He looked very assured back there. And him and Lyser next season would be a great centre-half pairing. So I wouldn't be adverse to seeing him out of all the signings we made out of the four that we speak about, Rangel, Wells, Hemed and Cameron. I wouldn't mind seeing Jeff Cameron back at QPR next season. Mm.
Rangel, I know, is massively popular with the fans, not just for his work on the pitch, but his work off it. It was the same at Swansea. Is he someone you're going to miss?
Yeah, I think the slight difference with him, he's a little bit older and he got injured and obviously was out and then got injured again towards the end of the season. So the risk with Angel is just, you know, how many games can he actually play for you over a season? And it's going to be another tough season for us. And, you know, he's going to want some money, you know, probably more money than the younger players. So therefore, can we really afford to take the risk on someone like that?
We've got two right backs as well, and Furlong and Kakai.
So yeah, I agree. Whereas Cameron,
we ain't got centre half.
We haven't got centre half, and we could do with a
holding
midfield.
Oh my lord above, gentlemen! I do apologise, but it is Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0. This is quite incredible. Divock Origi has got his second of the game. Jeannie Wijnaldum, of course, getting the other two. As things stand, it's Liverpool 4, Barcelona 3. They've come back, from three goals down from the first leg. And Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool will be in a second consecutive Champions League final if it stays like this. But one Barcelona goal, it's level on aggregate, and Barcelona will go through on away goals. So it's going to be a nervy final 11 or so minutes at Anfield for Liverpool. Incredible stuff, and we will keep you updated
throughout the show. Where's the final at?
The final is a very good question. Where is the final?
I do know where it is.
Let's hope there's no fountains. Angel, he likes a fountain.
Where did you get that from? You get injured if you
fountain
got
of youth. Indeed.
Indeed.
Isn't it Azerbaijan or somewhere?
No, so Azerbaijan. Baku is the Europa League, and the Champions League is taking place, I should say, at the Wanda Metropolitano in Madrid.
Yeah, there you go.
No fountains.
Barcelona would have enjoyed being there, but maybe they're not going to be.
Who's that ground? Is that Atleticos? I know nothing about Spanish grounds.
I think it's the new one.
It's a Spanish ground. So Rangel is a bit of a luxury. He has endeared himself to QPR fans, especially with his reaction at the Swansea home match when he was absolutely livid for them not kicking the ball out and started gesticulating and pointing and shouting at people in a Latino way. And that was great because the Swansea fans were a bit confused. They were like, hang on a minute, Rangel, you're a legend for us. We've got a flag for you. We like you. And now you're starting shouting at us. And we battered them that day. So that was interesting. But I think the strikers were interesting. Hemed, I think he picked up towards the end before he left.
But we're not going to keep Hemed.
No, we're not going to keep Hemed.
On the supposed 40 grand, in terms,
no. And, but Wells was this weird kind of like, he came in and he was this amazing, like, we've not seen this movement and this mobility and how he interlinks the midfield to the strikers. But by the end of it, a shots over the bar, missed penalties. It was like he didn't want to be there and he looked so devoid of confidence as well. It like QPR had sucked all the life out of him. I think we played him up a little bit compared to what his talent actually is. He's not getting in Burnley's team. Let's be honest about it. You know, he's not this amazing young Premier League striker waiting to break through. He's getting close to 30 and he's probably going to leave Burnley.
Well, I think the issue for him is because he didn't set the world on fire with goal scoring, even though I thought he played well through the season. So other teams looking at him, where's he realistically going to go from Burnley? It's going to be the Championship.
Could he go back to Huddersfield? That was where he had his best
possibly
time.
That's probably his best outlet. I don't know what their the strikers they might keep
quite
from going
similar
down.
Similar to Carlin Grant.
Yeah, so will they keep the ones who they've had in the Premiership? But realistically, that's probably one of his best options because other teams up there are going to think, well, he was at QPR, didn't have a great season, didn't get that many goals, missed a couple of penalties.
He looked like a bit of a wreck, you know. He looked like he's in some sort of turmoil internally, but he just didn't really let that out on the pitch. He scored a couple of cracking goals. He had a purple patch, scored a couple right into the corner in front of the loft.
He did
some really good stuff, but it just didn't work for him going on. And I think he became caught in the whole QPR season, really, after Watford and the FA Cup happened and we went out of it. We had nothing to play for. We were safe. Then we got sucked into it and he just wasn't really up for the fight
and
in
so
that way.
Burnley are going to want a big number for him.
Are they?
Well, they're going to want a number for him, a number we can't afford. And then he's going to want wages. So he's in a bit of a pickle himself.
Yeah,
really.
Same as Hemed, really.
Yeah, they're both.
Hemed could go abroad and go back and do something on the continent. But I think the players that are leaving from those loan situations, Cameron, again, it's numbers. We're probably not going to be able to afford him. He might be able to get better elsewhere.
He could stay at Stoke for a year.
I think he's done at Stoke, isn't he?
No, he's got another year. Yeah, he could just sit on the bench, couldn't he, and take the money. I don't think he's that sort of guy.
They've got a squad about 50,
I would say he would go back to the MLS, or back. I don't think he's played there, has he?
I don't think he has.
He would go to the MLS.
He's been at Stoke for about seven seasons.
Where he would get paid a decent wage for being in a...
But he seems like a good sort. He seems to take the club into his heart and it's a shame we didn't get to see more of him because I think our season would have been different if Jeff Cameron would have been involved a little bit more. Shadipo getting that year extension was absolutely good.
He looked good he looked decent enough to deserve it at 21.
I've never seen he put the Nottingham Forest fullback on his bottom about three times in the same space of play, which was really good.
It wasn't shown in the highlights, that.
It wasn't.
It was disappointing.
That was the highlight of the season as well, really. But he whipped a couple of good balls in. He looked like he had that intensity. He wanted to get in those areas and cross balls in. And I think, compared to Bright, I think him and it, they're on similar levels. So it'd be good to see them on opposite wings next season.
That fourth Liverpool goal, by the way, is one of the cheekiest you will see in the Champions League this season. It comes from a corner. Divock Origi, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Divock Origi scores. Alexander-Arnold goes to take the corner, sees that there aren't really any options on, gestures as if he's going to switch takers with another player, wanders away from the spot. As he's wandering away, he sees the Barcelona defenders switch off, sprints back to the spot, whips it in, and Origi whacks it in. Very, very cheeky. Arguably a bit of gamesmanship there from Liverpool.
Cheeky Scousers, eh? Who'd have thought it?
But they all count, and it is still Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0. On aggregate, it's 4-3 Liverpool. Quite something.
Wow. Can we do the show from the pub? Because we haven't got BT Sports here.
You've got my app showing it, but it's about
your app
late.
Is like, yeah, remember Football Manager from 98? It's what Julian's app is like. And Julian loves
it. Little 3D dot, 2D dots, I should
show me your app, sing the song.
There's an injury at the moment.
So show
it's
Origi
that's injured.
Stop hiding your app.
But that's probably a minute ago.
Look at that app.
That's actually sub Championship manager levels.
It's like Gary Lineker's Football Manager 86.
Other good football simulators are available on the Amstrad. Coming up, we'll be talking the players you're desperate to see stay, the ones you're sad to see go, and we'll be on the road to nowhere. But first, I'm going to give you one more clue in the Who Are You. You do need it. It is, I played for Plymouth.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things. And I've got your fourth and final Who Are You clue, gents.
We don't need it.
I'm giving it to you.
We don't need it.
It is, I'm Hungarian. Yeah, so those four.
Akos Buzaki.
Is correct. It's correct. Yeah, and I believe you had a bit of help on
the
text.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to. I was looking at my app with a little dot flying around and Gav's text came in and it was on
along
there.
With a picture of him and Rufus Brevett as well.
Of course, I knew he played for
so you're... Do we know how Gav has got on in the charity game that he's playing
well,
at QPR?
He lost 5-0, didn't he?
Did he? He didn't get a score, did we? He didn't score, otherwise he would have told us about that. He's sitting in the dugout of Rufus Brevett, who...
There's no one in the stands
like
watching.
He's indulged in the sandwiches. Not Gareth, that is. But he looks like he's having a great time. And he
Wonderful.
Had a range of things on the back of his shirt. But
Good
he had the number
man.
17, which we can't work out. Mm. We don't know if that was Gav's mental age
it's
or...
The average age of his girlfriend.
Stop. Stop.
4-4, apparently, the result. There you go. We're getting his live
updates. Barcelona?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Gav, are you playing against Liverpool now?
Came
Thanks,
back
Gav.
From 3-0. Maybe it
Did
will
you?
Be.
Did
just
you?
Just to clarify, it's still 4-0 in Liverpool versus Barca, 4-3 on aggregate. So just a quick run-through of those clues for you at home. Signed by Jose Mourinho.
For who?
For Porto. In 2002 to 2005, Buzaki played for Porto, making only 3 appearances. Your next clue is I played for Barnsley, signed for them on loan in 2012, only made 5 appearances. Played for Plymouth. This, of course, was the team he was at before QPR. He played there from 2005 to 2008. And he is, of course, a Hungarian international with 20 appearances and 2 goals.
Can we just say that Julian's got a yellow card for his comment because Gav's girlfriend is listening. So, Jennifer, we're really sorry for that behaviour. And Julian will make it up to you. Thank you.
I've just seen something which I won't say on air. Anyway.
But is that only a yellow card?
It's probably orange. But yeah. Anyway, David Wheeler scored for MK Dons and he's going to be playing for us next season, right?
Back in League One. He won't be playing for us.
No.
God.
Right, politics.
I didn't know he was still on loan. I thought we'd got rid of him.
No, he's still there.
He's still on loan, but yeah.
He's into politics. He was doing something as well for the... I think he's a member of the Green Party or something. And he's political. You're looking at me like,
where have you got this?
I don't know. You're Tory anyway, so don't matter. But no, we're supposed to be a good guy off pitch, and I know that.
I did want to know if Baptiste, who got promoted, Luton, having played one game, whether he celebrated as much as Connor Washington did the previous week, having got promoted.
Full John Terry United. Style.
0 goals.
Yeah.
Connor Washington went there on a free transfer as a striker for the team that finished second.
He got an assist.
And got 0.
Huh? Yeah, we talked about it last week. He got 1 assist.
Yeah,
he
got no goals.
Yeah, he got 1 assist. That's all right. That's enough to celebrate.
A new contract keep on now.
Baptiste had 1 game.
Yeah, that was a weird one. That was. Baptiste was weird going to Luton. That was a strange signing. And Mick Harford, ex-QPR link, taking him up after Nathan Jones went to Stoke and doing a good job. He's always a scary man, Mick Harford. He had eyes, really scary eyes.
I can ask, when have you looked into them?
You don't look at it. It's like Medusa. You don't
look
into his eyes. No, yeah. Vinnie Jones tells a story of him and Tony Coton in a pub in Watford, and there was a big fight, and then basically McArthur just laid everybody out, and that was the end of that.
I'm sure he denies that he laid everybody
out. No, it's in the
maybe
book.
He doesn't. Oh,
no,
right.
We won't get sued, Johnny. It's fine. No one's listening. Everyone's on holiday. They got promoted. It's fine.
Five minutes of injury time.
Yeah, they have played 90 at Anfield. It's still 4-0 to Liverpool, 4-3 on aggregate, but 5 left to play. We will keep you posted. In terms of QPR's other loan talents who could be coming back, who
Chair.
Are you excited by?
Chair. Yeah.
And our Stevenage supporting producer is nodding
Stevenage
knowingly.
Supporting Liverpool hating producer, non-air drumming man. Is nodding that Chair is
who
the
loves
man.
Freeman.
The gaffer, I don't know, what's his name? Dino the Last Dinosaur. He said that that he's the best Stevenage player ever. And that was ahead of people like George Boyd, Luke Freeman.
Phillips.
Who? What, for Stevenage?
Yeah, didn't Phillips play for Stevenage? Thank you.
What Phillips?
Phillips. Quinn and Phillips.
That's Sunderland, mate.
No, he played for Stevenage.
Quinn and Phillips. No, the producer's looking less...
Maybe he's from Stevenage.
Kevin Phillips. Yeah. He played for Watford.
No, he's from Stevenage.
Yeah, Julian's lost the plot now. He's scared of Jennifer.
He's from Stevenage.
That's what it is. He's getting fear now. He's getting angry.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton as well. He played for Stevenage.
God, here we go.
I can confirm that Phillips played for Bulldog Town,
but not Stevenage.
Yeah, it's nowhere near.
No, it's right next door to Stevenage.
Is it?
Yes.
Bulldog?
Yeah. Look it up. Get a map.
It's in Hertfordshire.
It was Luke Freeman, who we know and love for this season only. And George Boyd and someone else. Who's the other producer? I can't hear producers. Who's the other best Stevenage player ever?
He's looking. He'll keep us posted. In terms of Luke Freeman, interesting that you should say for this season only. Is this it for Freeman now at QPR?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, I think so.
The fact he didn't play the last two games says they're making sure he doesn't get injured. So that he
I think Sheffield United would have the money now to buy him for $5 million.
Do you think he's going to do it in the Premier League if that's where he ends up?
It'll be one of these weird ones that... I mean, you look at his stats. There's some stats came out this week, the most successful dribbles, crosses, some other stuff, bits and pieces as well. And you consider our season, and Freeman's done extraordinarily well as an individual.
In a bit more space in the Premier League as well.
He's one of these players that will go into it and you think, he hasn't got the pace and he hasn't got the physicality, but he'll get a few assists from random places and all of a sudden he'll do all right. And it'd be great at a team potentially like Bournemouth, you know, like Ryan Fraser and the likes of that have gone into those sort of teams and being right in the Premier League when you underestimate what they do in the Championship in bad teams. So I think he could.
We need him to. I don't want to see him.
We'll get robbed. We'll get $5 million, $4 million for him at best.
What do you think he's worth?
Seven or eight.
I think...
If we could do a decent price, we get seven
I think seven would be beautiful. I think six would be market average, but QPR never do well in this sort of stuff. And they know we've got a big fine over us and people will just have that against us and go, we'll give you four and, you know, take it or leave it. And we might barter up to 4.5, but we need that. We need to make £6 million next year to just make the ends meet, basically. So it's him and somebody else that we sell to try and make the rest of it up.
We've seen quite a lot of impressive attacking midfielders at Championship level go a step up and not really do the business. Andy Reid at Sunderland, that didn't really work when they got promoted. Lee Tomlin, of course, got a couple of chances in the Premier League. He went from goal-scoring maestro to slightly chubby and useless.
You're picking a lot of chubby footballers here. Have you got a thing for chubby footballers?
I'm happy to say on air that I have a real thing for the sort of hipster, chubby attacking midfielder with good technique.
Fair play,
because
that's a niche thing there, Johnny.
Someone's got to support them.
You could make a website right there on that. But Luke Freeman's not chubby, just to bring that
he's
in.
He's not interested.
Exactly. Swipe left, apparently, on the Freeman one.
He should end up at a Norwich or a Sheffield United, or who else is going to go up? Probably not Leeds, is it?
I think it might be Aston Villa. Who do you guys reckon?
Yeah, they're the form team.
What, it'll go up?
It's not going to be Derby because they always blow it in the playoffs. Mm. Leeds look like they've just run out of
steam. Yeah,
they've
run out of everything.
West Brom have had to rent a manager that was linked with us with Appleton, so it's a bit weird as well. I think Villa look that they've got everything they need to go out with. Good strike, a decent manager, and a following to do it. But out of all them four clubs, it's like, ugh, isn't it really? They're all like...
No, let them do it, then John Terry can get the Chelsea job when Sarri goes.
Oh, dear.
He'll claim the credit.
Did you have to mention John Terry?
He'll claim the credit and there'll be a disaster. So we'll
Gav will be off, you know, let alone Jennifer talking about John Terry.
In a derogatory way.
There have been I'm going to save you from any more Jennifer-based conversation. There have been 94 and 50 seconds minutes played Champions League. I think Liverpool have done it. It's Liverpool 4... Barcelona 0 at Anfield. We're just waiting for full time to be confirmed, but this could be one of the... It's done. They've done it. It is one of the very greatest Champions League comebacks of all time. Barca, of course...
Imagine they do a double.
It's extraordinary. Barca had one of their own against PSG a few years ago, and Liverpool... The joke is, this isn't even their greatest Champions League comeback of all time because they've got previous at Istanbul. It's a second consecutive Champions League final. It is quite
extraordinary. All the Cockney Reds will be out on Trafalgar Square tonight.
They will. I take it you're hoping they don't win it.
What, the league?
Or the Champions League, or both.
I don't care about the Champions League. I think we're all supporting Man City, aren't we?
I'm supporting Liverpool.
Are you?
Quietly.
As an Arsenal fan.
Wow. I like Liverpool in the Champions League and it transfers into the Premier League precisely because of this sort of evening. There is something about Anfield, and it is a cliche, but you just can't legislate for the kind of performances, the kind of results that they produce. I think my producer is about to be sick through the glass as I eulogise for Jurgen Klopp's performance, but it is quite
He still
something.
Can't get over we can't think of three Stevenage players. That's the
yeah,
problem,
he's like,
really.
Kevin Phillips did not play for Stevenage.
Bulldog, which is like nowhere near Stevenage.
But as a final question, because it's that time of the show, Mark Warburton, yay or nay?
As long as he doesn't bring a director of football with him, he's the best of a bad bunch. We'll take him. You know, we take Brentford cast offs. That's where we're at these days. And no bread puns either.
And Julian, what are you having? Yes or no?
I'm having
Jurgen
Klopp.
I'll have
Jurgen Klopp.
He's going into witness protection right now.
Jurgen Klopp. He is a maestro. I think that's all we can say.
That's all we can say. Thank you.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.